you. I sure hope you're happy to see me, but if you're a little bit confused, Pastor Leafley is right now probably on a beach somewhere. I know you don't want to think about this, but he's probably on a beach somewhere, and he's probably swimming, snorkeling. No, I'm just kidding. He's probably in church this morning, but he is on vacation this weekend. And so if you didn't know that and you came, surprise. All right. So happy birthday. It is your special day. No. But we're going to have Sunday school and upstairs. And normally with the teenagers, we sing a couple songs just like you do here. But one of the things that we do is we like to read. We have a passage for the month that we take and read it together. So I'm going to invite you to start out with, let's go to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. And so Romans chapter 5, and I think we took verses 1 through 10. And so what we do is we read it out loud together, and you're welcome to read aloud with me. The whole idea behind it is that we read it every week and try to commit it to memory. And by reading aloud, that's one of the best ways to do it, is just repetition. And so we're going to do that this morning. You're welcome to do that. We're Romans chapter 5. We're going to read verses 1 through 10 out loud. And then we'll go over to the text where our Sunday school lesson will actually come from this morning. So Romans chapter 5, verse 1, let's read. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. Amen. All right, it's Romans chapter 5. Excellent. And an excellent passage to commit to memory. If you could take extra time to do that, that's quite the passage there. Let's go to Acts chapter 19 this morning for the Sunday school lesson. Acts chapter 19. We'll be in Acts chapter 19 and start in verse 13. And I want to teach you this morning, give you several kinds of media that you need to do away with in your life. All right? And there's not a question about this. It's a definitive thing. It's been this message that I'm going to preach is actually about 300 years old. I say preach, I'm going to teach it. It's too heavy to preach. But I'm going to teach this. I'm going to give you some media that needs to be done away with in your life. I'm going to show you the biblical example of that. And in the old days, they would have book burnings. Somebody would get saved, even in America, where we think we have good quality stuff, but somebody would get saved, and one of the things that would happen is they would get baptized to show everybody they got saved. The second thing that would happen is they'd pull everything out of their house that was against God, and they'd burn it. Whether it was a deck of cards, whether it was a book, whether it was a relic, an antique or an heirloom that was keeping them from Christ, they'd take it and burn it. And that happened in America, and that happens all over the world now. And what I want to present to you this morning, the reason for presenting this is because sometimes we trust Christ as Savior, but it's like, you know, it's like Christ is saving us while we have a chunk of concrete tied to our ankles. It's not that He can't do it, but boy, you're going to be stretched and strained the whole way, and it's not because He's doing something wrong. You're going to blame Him. See, when God saves a person, He pulls you up, and let me just tell you that that's not a natural motion for the human body, to be pulled up. But for the human spirit to be pulled up and then to be tied down to worldly things, what you're going to do is you're going to blame the one pulling you up. We always do. The problem is it's not what's pulling us up, it's what's tied around our ankles that's holding us down. And so I'm going to encourage you to maybe cut loose of some of those things today. So Acts chapter 19, let's read verse 13 down to verse 20, and let's see what happens here in this story. Not just a story, a historical account here. The Bible says, "Then certain of the vagabond Jews, exorcists, took upon them to call over them which had evil spirits the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, We adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preacheth. And there were seven sons of one Siva, a Jew, and chief of the priests, which did so. And the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are ye? And the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them, and overcame them, and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of that house, naked and wounded. Seven men, and one guy that had a devil and sent them all out of the house. And the Bible says, and this was known to all the Jews and Greeks also dwelling at Ephesus, and fear fell on them all, and the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified." That's not the case we're talking about, but that's an interesting thing, and that's, beware, that's happening more and more. The Lord said, as the days come to a close, He says, many will come in My name saying, I am Christ. And Jesus is going to get thrown around everywhere. And don't you know the devil knows how to put on a show? The devil knows that he knows his own. And somebody, if he's going to try to sucker people into believing, he can put on a show. Somebody comes and says, starts chanting Jesus, and somebody's going to go into an epileptic fit, and somebody's going to make a big scene, and the devil knows exactly how to mock that stuff, how to mimic that stuff. And lots of people that don't know the Lord, don't know what He sounds like, don't know what the Bible says, they're going to say, oh, well, that's got to be legitimate. I can't do that. Well, can I just tell you something? You've never been able to do that. No man has ever been able to do that. The apostles were able to do that. They died just a few thousand years ago. You know what you're able to do? You're able to pray and plead the blood of Christ over somebody, and the God and the Word of God will do the work of God. A man is well. Let's just face it. If you get into the wrong situation and you try to do this, it might turn out just like the seven sons of Siva. That's not the message this morning. Why did I say that? Ask my wife. She told me. She wrote that down. Verse 17, let's read on. It says, "This was known to the Jews and Greeks also dwelling at Ephesus, and fear fell on them all, and the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified. And many that believed came and confessed and showed their deeds. Many of them also, which used curious arts, brought their books together and burned them before all men. And they counted the price of them and found it 50,000 pieces of silver." What's an ounce of silver worth today? Is it $30? $20? More than that now? $28? $28 now. So it says pieces. I don't know if they were ounce pieces or not. $28, 20,000, 50,000 pieces of silver. Yeah, I can't do math, but I know that's a lot of money, isn't it? That's a lot of money. And the Bible says, as a result of that, so mightily grew the Word of God and prevailed. Let's think about that for a second. Lord, I pray that You'd bless this lesson this morning. Give me wisdom, Father, and help us, God, to draw to this what You'd have us to know. Lord, I pray that You'd help me as I access the wisdom in this book, and Father, as I present the wisdom from years and years ago, Lord, men that have preached and taught this message, and Father, may it be a blessing to our church today, right now. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, sometimes we preach or teach stuff, and I've been accused of having too much information. But honestly, everybody here is an expert on something. Everybody here is an expert on something, and I tell you what is hard for me as a Christian, because when I was working the night shift driving a trash truck 12 hours, I didn't want to be an expert on trash trucks. I wanted to be an expert in the Bible. Now that you see me as an assistant pastor, you say, well, obviously you have to be an expert in the Bible. No, I think the trash truck driver needs to be an expert in the Bible. If I could say names right now, and you could tell me statistics of people you've never met. And you could tell me what their life is, where they live, how much money they make. And that's great. You're an expert, all right? Don't shy away from going a little deep in the Bible, because you've gone some deep in some things that aren't going to do you any good. There's lots of people that have their heroes, and a young man last week, he told me, he said, well, all my friends, they don't believe what you believe. And he happened to be in jail, and I said, well, how many of your friends have come to see you since you've been here? Well, none of them have. They don't care. That's the difference, all right? And so it's when it comes to this, the Lord's the one that saved you. The Lord's the one that sanctifies you. And so if He asked you to do something crazy, like, say, pull something off of your shelf, pull something out of your pocket, remove something out of your life, and publicly destroy it, sometimes we might get accused of going a little bit too far, being a little too fanatical, but if that's what the Lord asks you to do, you'd be a little fanatical for somebody else. So I'm just asking you to give God at least the space in your mind that you might give to something else, all right? And as far as this is concerned, you see a book burning, and in recent history, we have a very negative picture of that. I've got a book up here, and it's a very, very good read. I wouldn't buy it, but you can go to the library and get it. I steal lots of things from the library. I always return them, but I steal them. They have to scan my card, and then I steal them. That's how libraries work. Anyways, but it's called When Books Went to War. It's a very good book, very good history, and it talks about, it starts out with the book burning that took place in Germany, in Berlin. And I believe that was in May of May 10th of 1933. And there was several thousand books that basically Nazi Germany and part of their campaign to control people, they got a bunch of books together, and they just destroyed a bunch of reading material. That's what we think of when we think of a book burning. We think of somebody is trying to control me. They're holding me back from information. And the honest truth is this, is that when it comes to controlling information, there's a lots of stuff out there in as a reaction to that. I believe that was all the devil. I believe that whole book burning, he didn't do it just for the effect, he did it for the after effect. Because what happened as a result of that, the United States said, why, you're going to burn books, we're going to make more books, we're going to publish more books. Problem was, is they didn't have a lot of, they didn't put a lot of care into the quality of it. Here's what happened in Nazi Germany. Nazi Germany took all the books and burned them. And they made a big public show of it. Terrible thing, all right? I'm not a sympathizer. But here's what happened in America. They said, what we want our soldiers to have books. And we want them to read books. We want them to be well-read. So they appealed to the nation and said, bring us your books. They called it the Victory Book Drive, all right? I think it was called the VBC. And it was in April 17th, which is a day that Miss Maloney knows about. It wasn't April 17th, but it's the Thursday before Easter where they gave out books. They collected and gave out books. That's what we did at the middle school a few years ago. And that's what we'll do again this year. And it's because that's Victory Book Day. But they collected all these books to send out to the soldiers. And they had things. They said, just bring us what you read. Just anything. Because, you know, we want knowledge to be out there. And whereas Nazi Germany burnt everything so everybody can see, what happened was is they sent all these books. And then a few people in a dark room somewhere went through there and they sorted through those things. And you know what they did? They censored the books that were going to the front lines because they wanted a certain way of thinking to hit the American soldier. And you'll have to read the end of this book to figure out why we might be in the mess we're in is not because of a public burning, but because of a private censorship. And by the way, it wasn't some fanatical preacher that told you to burn books. It was some elected government official that didn't ask your opinion and threw away many, many things that may have been good to read. And instead, they published and put out the majority of what we now know as novels. All right? Now, if you have if this isn't sitting well with you, just read the book. We can talk about it later. But the reason why it may not sit well with you is because we like to think we're free and nobody controls us. But they do control you. How many of you guys have ever been talking about something, and then when you opened your phone up and pulled up the internet, you found out that it was giving you results on what you were talking about? Has that ever happened to anybody besides me before? Okay. We'd like to think we're not controlled, but we are controlled. We are controlled by whoever we submit to. And here's the thing. Somebody is burning your books. Somebody is controlling the stream of information you get already. Question is, why not let the Lord do it? All right? Now, here's in the Bible, it says that they got together, and after seeing these sorcerers try to throw out devils and realizing, you know, everything we've been trusting in is really not any good in spiritual warfare, these folks realized they had books that contained curious arts. All right? And we're not going to study what curious arts are, but suffice it to say is things that were not true. Can we agree on that? Because for the one thing, it had no power to help a person that was enslaved by the devil. That's why the passage is the way it is. That's what happened. They saw and they heard about how even the name of Jesus abused was no good when folks had the wrong knowledge of God. They saw how it was no good, and they said, you know, we've been reading a lot of stuff that's been filling our head with ideas that aren't any good in the real world. In spiritual warfare, they're no good. So they came, they brought them, and they burned them. You probably don't have the witch's book of 101 spells to make your life better. You probably don't have that on your shelf. Probably nobody does, all right? It's a made-up book. But you wouldn't say, well, I don't have books of sorcery in my library. I wouldn't read that. I wouldn't watch that. Well, hang on now. Maybe you would watch that. Sometimes it gets fun, doesn't it? Sometimes Harry Potter it's entertaining, isn't it? But we're not going there yet. The fact is you may not have something that's obviously that way, but how untrue does it need to be before it's a danger to what you're trying to do, what the Lord's trying to do with you? How much is acceptable? All right? So with that thought in mind, with the idea of this censorship, I printed off something from the Banned Books Day. It's a big deal. You see it at the library. They make a big display of it every fall, and talking about banned books. And can I just tell you that I'm not about banning books from the library. It's a disaster anyways, okay? You find something good at the library, it's almost accidental. Right now, and if you go beyond or below, I should say, the adult reading level, anything for a teenager is homosexual. It's queer, gay, whatever. Every one of them. Stuff for our kids, we have to read hardbound picture books for our kids because most of them are that way too. And when they push this banned books and the liberty of knowledge, you know what it is? It's out of 10 books, 9 out of 10 of the books are sex and queers. That's what it is, and it's a disgusting thing. And what they've done is they've taken the liberty of knowledge and the liberty of knowing what you can know and knowing what nobody can tell you what you can know or not. That sounds good, doesn't it? Nobody can tell you what you are unlimited. You can learn whatever you want to learn. Kind of sounds like a tree a long time ago in a garden that was the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, wasn't it? You know anything you want to know. You know what Adam found out when he read that, or when he read it, when he ate it? He realized he was naked. And you know what's going to happen to, what's happening to lots of kids as they read this junk is they're not learning something that's elevating their life. They realize, I'm naked. And unfortunately, it just goes downhill from there. But the reality of this thing, Voice of the Martyrs is a good organization, decent organization, I should say, but they try to get Bibles into countries. I've got a map here, and I got this in the mail. I shrunk it and I copied it and printed it off. But they sent a map, and these different colored countries in the Middle East and Africa and Asia here are countries that of the three colors, the orange ones, they're dangerous or difficult to get a Bible into. In other words, they ask you a lot of questions. The countries in red or maroon are where it's illegal or highly restrictive to get a Bible in there. And the countries where it's in black is you're risking your life. It's covert only. If they find out you've got a Bible, not only is the Bible in danger, but you're in danger for it. And that's not an old map. This is not an old thing, and this is they update it every year. But the fact is that section of countries, that's real book banning right there. And that's one book that'll get you in trouble. The Bible is the book that everybody's afraid of. And you know, the devil doesn't care what you read as long as you don't read this one. You might have good books. You might have none of the things I'm about to list for you, but as long as you don't read that one, the devil's fine. All right? The Lord said in the Garden of Eden, you can have any tree but one. And the devil just turned that on its head, and he said, you can have every tree now, you can have every book now, but one. And if you get that far, you'll be doing something. All right, so let me give you a list here, and I'll give you three principles at the end of it for picking good books. All right, let's see here. Books that should be burned. These guys burned books of curious arts. The first thing is this: you should burn books. You should get rid of books. And when I say books, let me just clarify: book is a technology of transmitting information. All right, and in the Old Testament they called them books, and they weren't bound on the backside and front and back printed. They were a roll of paper, or they were sheets of paper stacked on top of each other. All right, so when you say book, that's any time that you're transmitting information with technology. Okay. The Gutenberg press wasn't around when this was written, when he said burn the books, and yet they had books. All right, so some of us, I know you would never do this, but some of us say, "Oh well, he said books. That must mean only books, and that must mean that I'm okay with movies and games and scrolling the internet." No, that's just a different technology. You know what the internet? You know how they list the technology? You put pages together, web pages together. You put those in a file folder. What's a folder? It's a piece of paper doubled over. And then you have a cover. What do you need a cover for? I thought it was just a graphic on a screen. No, that you have a cover and a cover page and a cover image. Why? Because it comes from books. You won't get away from it. They might try to update that or try to change it or mask it. But what it is, it's just a different way of getting a book into your hand. And lots of people are not book readers of ink and paper, but they're scrollers, and I'm telling you, their thumbs are probably, that's the strongest muscle on some people's bodies there, the way they can go through and, you know, if there's a picture attached, usually we read a little bit more than what we do on if it's just words. But books, when we say books that should be burned, I'm talking about media that needs to go in your life. All right? This is according to the Bible. If this had been wrong, the Lord would have said, hey, you went too far. Somebody could have been learned from that stuff, right? Doesn't the Lord do that? Whenever one of the biggest arguments in Christianity is they say, well, the Bible contains some very questionable stuff. I mean, David committed adultery. Okay, well, if the Bible said David committed adultery and then left it hang there, you would have to wonder whether that was right or not, wouldn't you? But does the dead baby in the next chapter, does that mean anything to you? Does the three dead sons, the son murdering his brother and David spending months in exile, does that mean anything to you? If you just look at it and you say, well, the Lord didn't say anything, you know, the Bible isn't clear about stuff. The Bible's very clear about stuff. And if the Lord wanted this to be a
a negative and say, hey, you know, you need to read more books. He might have said, he might have told us in this passage here, but he didn't. Now, the Bible has some things to say about books, but let me give you some old wisdom here about what kind of media needs to go in your life, all right? First thing is this, anything that gives you an untrue picture of life. Anything that paints an untrue picture of life is a media, it's a movie, it's a book, it's a game, and it needs to go. That gives an untrue picture of life. Why? Well, think about it. Let's take it out to its very end. What does seeing somebody else's post on Facebook, what does that do for you? It'll make you covetous or it'll make you jealous. In other words, you want what they've got, or you want to go out and find that sunset and frame your face in it. So why? So that people can know that your life is great too. I have a wonderful life too. See? Look at the sunset, you know? I mean, that's all it does. What is that? That paints an untrue picture of life. Every time, listen, and teens, you guys are great for this. Every time you take a picture and you find that filter that just makes you look like a movie star, maybe it's not teenagers here. Maybe it's some of us middle-aged folks. Maybe it's some of us older folks. Find that filter. What is that? If you're putting that out for somebody to see that you've never met before, that's writing a book for them to read that's saying, this is my life. Isn't it great? But it's a lie. Does that make sense? This may seem like nitpicking, but this isn't something I wrote, all right? This is about a 300-year-old message here that I'm just talking to you, all right? We're just talking. We're just having a conversation. If you disagree in Sunday school, I think Pastor said if you disagree, you have to yell, and that's how I know you disagree. Is that how you do it up here? Is that not how it happens? Has anybody yelled in Sunday school before? Okay, all right. Well, there's a first time for everything. All right. If it gives an untrue picture of life, novels in the Bible, there's stories that are not true that are told. They're called parables. And there's when those are given, it's very clear when they start and when they finish, and every one of them has a moral told. In all your media today, I stopped enjoying movies. I stopped enjoying movies a long time ago. Because in every time it's presented to you, even if it's innocent or just for fun, they always are trying to teach you something. And I hate movies that try to teach me something. I want to be stupider when I'm done watching than when I started. Don't teach me a lesson. Don't because it's always twisted, and I don't want my brain to have to work. The problem is once you know what the Bible says, you see you see all the twisted ideas that they try to shove into that stuff, and it's hard to enjoy it. Maybe you don't want to get into this because it'll ruin all the movies for you, but the Lord said, thou shalt not lie. And it's just hard when you get into a thing that's not true. It's just hard to enjoy it when you know that somebody's lying to you and you paid for them to lie to you. People, you know, you give an offering at church, and sometimes it's hard to give at church, but it's not hard to pay Netflix. But what are you paying them for? Not the documentaries. You're paying them so that you can watch Flash run faster than the speed of light, right? You know that's not true, right? And you paid them to lie to you, and you enjoy it. Anyways, all right, moving on. Here's the second thing. You need to burn any book that would inflame your passions. Now, sometimes there's true things that you can read about. Newspapers are great for this. They're great, and of course, it's online too. They'll put a headline up there, and you may never know what the story's actually about, but what you read gets you riled up. It'll make you angry, or it'll arouse you so that you want to read more because you think, oh, there's something provocative in here. I want to get to that. And they just do that with a headline mostly. But they're trying to string you along is what they're trying to do. And they're treating you like an animal. And in as much as it's kind of weird for us to pay for somebody to lie to us, isn't it weird that we enjoy somebody treating us like an animal? Right? I mean, this is adult Sunday, so we got some teenagers in here, but here's the thing, you know, you get two dogs together and you put a male and a female together. Why? Because you're wanting something to happen. And when a newspaper or any media puts that stuff out there and puts a natural man with it, what are they trying to make happen? They're trying to get your mind to go to the wrong place. They're trying to get that to happen. That's what you do with animals. Humans aren't supposed to be that way. We're supposed to be different. We're supposed to be subject to God, subject to the law of God, subject to the law of our conscience. And the newspaper says, you don't need your conscience. Read this. Look at this. And it tries to inflame the passions. Now, sexual passions being one thing, but anger being the other thing. You can read something. We're just around the corner from another election season, and boy, you'll be angry at everything, and you'll have good reason to. But most of the time, it'll be a headline, and the story behind it really is not that exciting. But by the time you get done with it, that headline's got you so riled up, you already believe what they want you to believe, and you don't care what the facts are. Why? Because you followed your passions. They dangled the carrot, and you followed it. They call it clickbait on the internet. Bait. You know, you put a worm on a hook and throw it into the water, it's bait. You swallowed the hook, all right? You need to burn those books. You say, well, I need to control myself better. Okay. I mean, it's not an untrue statement. Why not get rid of it? You know what that'll do? That'll help you control it. You saying, I need to control it better with it in your presence is like a drunk saying, I'm going to set this bottle here and I need to learn better self-control. Does he need to learn better self-control? Sure does. Is having the bottle there helping him? Well, we've started off Sunday school a little rough, haven't we? It's all right. Miss Kathy is still smiling, so we're okay, all right? That's how I know we're okay. All right. You need to burn books that apologize for crime. That ought to be an easy one, isn't it? That ought to be an easy one. One of the movies my brother really, really enjoyed, one of the Superman movies that came out, and he told me about it, and I never watched it, but I found out at the end of it, Superman ends up killing the bad guy. Now, to me, that was, I was glad I didn't watch it, because as a kid growing up, I read Superman comics, and that was the one thing Superman never did, because he never had to. He never had to kill the bad guy, because he was always stronger than the bad guy. He would always save you from the bad guy. He never had to kill the bad guy. He was better than that. But if the world's going to get us to think, the right way, they get Superman, they get him killing somebody. Why? Because he got angry. What is that? It's apologizing for crime. There's many, many things like that. Well, you ever done a test of a TV show and just take the Ten Commandments and just check off as they break them through a movie? I did that once. I did it a long time ago, and I never did it again because you want to talk about not enjoying a movie. You won't get through the first 20 minutes. And you can check off one time after time, lying, adultery, murder, theft, right down through that. Everything you consume. You need to learn better self-control? Sure you do. Sure, absolutely. But the Lord applauded these people for burning it. Would that be so bad? You say, well, that's, most of the stuff, Brother Lewis, most of the stuff's on my phone. Well, how expensive a phone you got? If each of these pieces of silver was one 20th of an ounce, you're looking at $50,000 worth of books. $50,000 worth of books. Your phone isn't worth that much. $500,000. I don't know what it costs. You say, I wouldn't burn my phone. I need my phone. I know you do. I know you do. That's what the guy says when he's reaching for the syringe, too. I need that. And he really believes he does. And all I'm saying is the same thing I would say as I've counseled drunks and drug addicts. I would say, if you can control it, get rid of it. Prove it. My wife is good. Every now and then she'll I don't know what provokes it. If she's listening to preaching, then that's a dangerous thing to do. But she'll say, this week is a TV fast. Usually it's the weeks that I really want to watch something, you know, and I think she does it on purpose, you know. After she doesn't want to watch anything, now I can't watch anything, see. But she'll say, you know, this week is it's a TV fast. And that's good. That's good. I need that. I need somebody to remind me that every now and then you need to put it down just to prove you can. And a fast of media is a good thing to do. All right? Now, you should burn books that downplay Christ's deity and His death. it almost should go without saying, but you get a book and this, boy, there's a great many authors you could dump into this thing here. People that have been, maybe had a great intention, but the thing they wrote was not worth reading. There's a modern one is called The Shack. I think Pastor Lethley's preached on that. I say it's modern. It's probably 15 years old now. But if they, anything that downplays who Christ is and what He did, you're not going to learn some spiritual lesson. You're not going to see it from a different point of view. Okay? You know, I've never seen the point of view of a truck tire rolling over my face. All right? It is a point of view, but that's what people say. Well, you're so narrow-minded, you just don't have an expanded point of view. There's some point of views you can't have. You're not allowed to have, okay? They're not good for you. You should never see life that way, okay? I remember when I was a kid, I fell off a horse one time, and we were training a couple, we were ponying a couple, and I fell off this horse, and when I did, it spooked the other one that I was trailing behind me, and they took off running, and I landed, and I hit my head, and I blacked out for a second. When I came to, I remember it was like slow motion. I saw the underbelly of a horse just jumping over my head, and I thought, "Oh, this is how it ends." And I didn't have much life to flash before my eyes, but I remember that horse jumping over my head, and I thought, "So this is what it looks like." You know, most people see that only once or twice in their lifetime before they don't see anything again, right? It's not a point of view you need to have. It's dangerous. Okay. Next thing, you need to burn books that mix truth with error. All right. Now, of everything else, there you can separate and say this is true, this is false, and yeah, you want to stay away from that stuff that's false. But some authors, and let me tell you, the devil is behind every little bit of this, that can mix truth with error. And you know where you'll find most of this is in the Christian book section, the religious book section. Books that mix truth with error. And, you know, it's, in old times they said, how much error do you need? Well, a rusty pin can give you tetanus. And nobody thinks twice about that pinprick. I mean, a tainted needle can give you AIDS. But what's a needle prick? You know, what is that? How much error should you tolerate? Some of us have a high tolerance level. Doesn't mean it's good for you, all right? Just because you can eat a whole pizza doesn't mean you always should, right? Does anybody agree with that? Right now, if if I told you every piece of pizza you ate took 10 minutes off your life, to Bri, he said, "Man, that means I got a lot more pizza ahead of me," right? But maybe to somebody else, they say, "You know what? I think I can live without pizza." Right? Well, how much bad literature can you handle? Here's the thing: you don't know how much you can handle. You don't know when what you're going to read on the phone is going to stick in your mind and going to change it forever. The last kind of books that need to be burned, it says curious arts, things that emphasize too much the images, the pictures over the words. And man, when I was a kid, I loved comic books. I still love comics. I still like to draw them. I still like the idea of them. There's an art behind that, but sometimes that art is it's no good, because you'll forget what was said long, long time before you can erase a picture out of your mind. And I think that today you'll flip through many, many things on your phone, and many, many a young person has been scarred forever by a split second viewing of something that they wish had never happened. It can happen anywhere too. It could happen in church. It could happen on the church bus. It could happen. It could happen when you're trying to watch that sermon on YouTube. And some of you say, "Well, I don't believe that," probably because you don't watch sermons on YouTube. But and not that I would recommend that. But fact is the devil will get in anywhere he can, and he knows what will stick in your mind. He's been studying you for about 6,000 years now. There's no question what makes you tick. There's no question what gets your attention. All right, very quickly, let me give you three principles for picking your media. So we know what we got to get rid of. What do we take? Well, first of all, you need to take the Bible, and the reason you need to take the Bible as a book first is a principle. It's the building principle. If you're gonna if you're going to study mathematics, you don't start with algebra. Nobody starts there. Most people don't even like to finish there. You don't start with calculus. You don't start with geometry. Where do you start with? 1 plus 1 is 2, and 2 plus 2 is 4. Why is that? It's foundational. One thing has to be set in stone, laid in place before the next thing can be added to it, correct? Well, if you're going to be, if you want to open your mind up to read what you want to read, and you want the liberty to consume what you want to consume, okay, fine. Read your Bible first. No, I don't mean read a verse in Psalms. I mean read your Bible. I mean the whole thing. It's less than a third of the size of the Affordable Care Act was. And some of you know more about that than you do this. And that was years ago. It's only the old people are going to remember that, right? But listen, you talk about how long does it take you to read. I finished my New Testament. It took me less than 45 days. I'm not a speed reader. You're the pastor. You have to do it. I read my Bible through in a month when I was working. The whole Bible through in a month. The deal is you can do it if you want to do it. And if you're so bent on keeping the other stuff, read this first. Why? Because if you don't get 1 plus 1 is 2, what business do you have watching The Lion, Witch, and the Wardrobe and trying to figure out a spiritual principle? You don't have any business. Yeah, the Lord of the Rings is just needs to go into the realm of entertainment. You don't have any business trying to figure out spiritual types in that if you've never read your Bible. Amen? I hope you understand that. Solomon said this in Ecclesiastes. He says the preacher sought to find out acceptable words. There's some words that are acceptable, some that aren't. And he said, and that which was written was upright, even words of truth. And in verse 12 he says this, and further by these, my son, be admonished, of making many books there is no end. And much study is a weariness of the flesh. In other words, you're going to go out and you want to just start somewhere. You're going to go crazy trying to start somewhere if you don't start with the book. Okay, so the building principle, that's the first thing. Second principle is this. It's the limited storage principle. Those of us that care about how much memory a computer has realize that, when computers were new, 512 megabytes was good storage. Now it's standard to issue them with 512 gigabytes. You say, what is that? That's 1,000 times the old one. And it's not unlikely. We've got back in our sound room there to hold the videos. We've got over a terabyte of storage. That's a lot. But even if you had that much, you've only got a limited amount. And so, let me just say this. If you want to crowd your mind with this other stuff, don't let it be a surprise when you can't get anything good in there. Don't complain that you can't memorize the Bible. You don't have any room left. It's full. Okay? That's just a principle. And you take it or leave it. In Romans 16, verse 19, Paul said, I wish that you were wise concerning that which is good and simple concerning evil. He says, empty the recycle bin every now and then. Get rid of some stuff. Because you need to know what's good. If you filled it up with what's good, hey, there's some other things out there that you're going to need to be aware of. But stuff that in around the edges. All right? Get rid of it as a mainstream source in your life. Last one is this. It's the conveyance principle. Read your Bible first. Compare what you read to the Bible. And then ask your pastor about it. All right? Now, if that you say, well, that's too much. I know, but it's just one extra step between taking it and then posting it on Facebook without checking anything. Oh, that was a good story. I'm going to share that. Okay, be careful. Why not ask your pastor? Why not give that a shot? Or ask somebody that is a Christian, maybe somebody that led you to the Lord. Maybe somebody that has taught you something about the Bible. Ask them. I'm not saying they have to be an expert, but let it pass somebody else's test before you just accept that as gospel truth. It's the conveyance principle. If it can pass through somebody else's scrutiny, it's all right. My Bible teacher used to say, if you learn something new in the Bible, he said, don't even talk about it for a year. And he said, and then after 2 years, ask your pastor about it. And he said, and after that, you can present it, but only if you can find somebody else that sees the same thing you're seeing. He said, just slow down a minute. Because if it's true, it'll still be there. And if it isn't true, it'll go away and you'll forget it and you'll pass on to something good. All right. There was a little bit more to that, but I think those you got the main principles and the things that need to be burned, and I hope that'll free you up a little bit. Untie your ankles just a little bit, so when the Lord does try to lift you up, you won't be hurt by the stress of it, the stretch of it. Okay, Lord, thank you for this morning, and I pray, God, that you'd bless our time in between services. Father, please use us this morning. Help us to be a blessing to you, Father. Let there be nothing unacceptable go on in our speech and our conduct. Help us, Lord, to be welcoming of your Holy Spirit, Father, and of anybody that would enjoy and worship God together with us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.